difficult about the is not so much the interpretation of the single passages, but the structural pattern. Sometimes we are under the impression that there is as if there were no continuity from one part of the Godhead to another. And the most difficult part is the first one. Let us just investigate the structure of the Godhead, the composition. What would you say? I mean, when I say a Godhead, I mean a Godhead embraces and the recital of the second cut, Birkas HaMozarim and Hallel, the three recitals of the... But now let us limit the term Nagode to the recital which is related to the second cut. It means from Manishtano or Agode Moyino until Goal Yisroel. In that effect, the Rambam says the Dvorim Melo Yisroel Nagode, as beginning with Agode Moyino and concluding with Goal Yisroel. The structure of that part, this is the most difficult part. You see, Birkas HaMozarim is not this characteristic of Sefer, nor is Hallel Nishmas, which is recited of the fourth cut, unique. Hallel recite every Yontes, and Nishmas every Yontes and Shabbos, but the recitation of the second part confronts that, and it's hard to find continuity at first glance. Let us take a look. If you will take the middle part, beginning with Avodah Medina and concluding with Goal Yisroel, and try to divide it into sections, into how many sections will you divide them? Will you divide these parts? How many sections? How many units? Of course, the whole, the Avodah is a composite unit, composite entity. It's not united entity. It's a composite entity, no doubt about it. And there is, the author makes a leap from one realm into another, no doubt about it. So we cannot speak about just smooth continuity. It's a composite entity. But how many sections? How many sections is the Avodah Medina, the recitation of the story, beginning with Avodah and concluding with Goal Yisroel consists of? What would you say? I'd like to hear a suggestion from the audience. Yes, microphone? Yes, sir. Give me a number. Three or six. Now tell me how did you arrive at that? Now, you retrace the footsteps of the author of the Godhead. Backward, I would like it to move. Yes, the much easier. Pedagogically, much easier. The last section. The second, I told you to go backward, to move backward. From Goal Yisroel to Avodah Medina. In the opposite direction. In the retrogressive direction. The retrogressive direction. I don't know, you said, please, stick to it. No matter to me, but what is first? I say, in retrogressive direction. No. The last thing you said is what? The first star is Shire Hallel, the hymnal part. The first star, just a moment. No, not Ulsifa. The first star is the hymnal part. The star is the feast of praise and Shire. And thanksgiving. Hallel later. The first star. The hymnal, thanksgiving part. Next. No, it's not a separate unit. There's no need to count it as a separate unit. What is the middle part? No. The middle part is the narrational part, the narrative. It begins, it concludes with what? It concludes the narrational part, the narrative, the story itself. That's all simply to try to the story of the Exodus. It begins with what? Commences with what? No, Arami Vidori. Say, O Mad, not because Lomon Arami Lassus, or Yakum Avid. Arami Vidori, we recite the parts of Arami, we do interpret this part until the Tzacha Dash Bachav, and then we say also Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi is also a main part of the Sipri Tisnes Rahim, but Rabbi Gamliel refers to the symbolic meaning of the three basic mitzvot of the night of Pesach, namely Pesach Matzah Mor. But the part of the narrational section of Sipri Tisnes Rahim. That's the second. What is the third? What? I would say it's more than Aloha. Certainly it's Aloha. Many more stuff in the Sipri Tisnes Rahim. But more than that, it is actually, what shall I say, it is the philosophical, in that part we discuss certain basic principles, philosophical principles, moral principles, which form the root, shall we say, or the foundation of Sipri Tisnes. Without formulating those principles, or without accepting certain premises, it's like a postulate of axiomatic, but it's a validity, so it cannot be questioned. We either accept it or reject it. And certainly we do accept, which form the very foundation of the theosophy. Without stating those postulates, those axiomatic truths, it would be impossible to go on the generation of people in the theosophy. Of course, the first part contains
mean?
Allah has said, well, no doubt about it. Yeah. This is a three part. The first part is not difficult at all. Well, where does the first part begin? Now we are marching in the high direction. Progressive. Where does the first part begin? מחולדים מדי חי ועדו מדי רציתת נקל היות על מצרים ותיכה אנחנו חיון לי לפועל ולסבח ונחלל תופר שאת החלל על אותו עלו עבדי הלשם בקשת על מצרים נעשה גלון את הלשאי אתה בוא עלו נעשה This is a couple of hymnal parts It's very simple The only question which I would raise and I would like you to interpret it or help me interpret it we have three the hallow to two parts they're not equal parts actually for the first part that I've got it we have balanced the two psalms from the hallow all the four allure are there the same will be taken to oil in the soil while for the fourth part we have left the rest of the system of a number from Lilono down to Eglai Shemke Keshe Olam Chasbo it's like a lot what's the difference between the two sections that we recite over the second course and the rest of the hallow the balance of the hallow which is being recited over the fourth part is there any difference it was not just a squeeze it was not just a squeeze it was not just a squeeze incidental squeeze just apparently I mean the rest fits more into the context of the fourth part by the first two chapters the first two psalms are related to the second part I mean this is the cup of the agore yes yeah. what's the difference Yes, I know those answers, I know. But what's the difference semantically, yes, to the content of Allah? What's the difference, no? That I know, that I've known for the last 75 years. What's the difference? We'll arrive at that, but it's not easy to say. I mean, if you try to analyze the various chapters, you see the first two chapters are purely thanksgiving and hymnal chapters. We praise and praise exclusively. There is not a single petition or a single request or any kind of intercession or imploring God. It is Shevach Leidoy exclusively. There is nothing else but Shevach Leidoy. You speak about past events. Which occurred, there are important events which are inseparably connected with our destiny. And then you say the case is for the Mitzrayim, 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 Amway, Oysu, Mitzrayim. You describe how people who were downtrodden, oppressed, in bondage, and in servitude, have been suddenly raised to high level of freedom, and a new nation was born. It's from Oysu, Mitzrayim, a nation, a chosen nation, a holy nation, a nation in whose midst a Kodesh Baruch Hu resides. This is the content of the two. So of course, those two chapters, those two sections fit beautifully into the context of the Agore. Just Shevach Leidoy. The sounds, family long without, sounds, move, or avity, in a mitzvah to what it's called, and on la Hashem Ishiyono, on la Hashem Atrichono, you know, really they are very strange, namely, why are they strange? They're very strange. As a matter of fact, sometimes I ask myself, why were those chapters, those sections, I mean, integrated into Hallel. Yeah. Perhaps there is more petition than praise. The pure motives are interwoven into the texture of praise. There isn't. You don't find praise alone there. Only praise. Only, you know, singing, so to say. Only thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, and the next verse you ask from. It is somehow a people who was delivered and liberated and still is not free, is not completely free. And ask for God's protection, that he should shield the people. They take, for instance, Lomu Hashem Lomu, Yishim Kotin Kovid, Lomu Yimu Hageyim Ayin O Elekeya. As a matter of fact, it contradicts the whole spirit of Yishiyas Mitzrayim. Yishiyas Mitzrayim, Yod Mitzrayim Kani Hashem, God's name was glorified in it all. Everybody admitted that God is omnipotent, God is omnipresent, no one can violate, can act contrary to his will. And suddenly you ask the question, Lomu Yimu Hageyim, gei mein alle hier und ich bin schon mal in der von der Kirche und dann hast du gesehen das nur ich das nur ja also finde ich habe Mohammed und so ein Schei und so ein so ein Jogi nennt so mich immer nicht ne ko und ich mal dann habe ich completely different basically you had There is no pure praise in our liturgy. For a simple reason, there cannot be pure praise without Tfilah. Because the halacha is, as the Mishnah has formulated in a way, may the Alava, he praises God and thanks him for past events which already occurred, which were of great significance to the individual, who is power Alava, and he prays and petitions God for the future. But the man is never secure. There's no security according to the others. And the fact that I'm happy now does not mean that I'll be happy the next day. Now you understand why the halal was divided into such manner, because into the first part of that body, the element of Tfilah was not introduced at all. The first part of the body, after you see generation of the Tzach Hadas Bachar or Rabbi Gamliel, you see the Sifra HaNach Zachayon Lehidus L'Halal, you have only one duty. You are just obligated what to do. The Tfilah Lehidus L'Halal is a Beyach L'Foy and Remek, to glorify and to call and to pray and to give thanks. Not here, no petition, not Tfilah. Now forget for a while that you are human beings. And the Tefet is a trial, went through many more experiences, and not only start with experiences who were very present, and that we were avoiding by the number of times, perhaps under conditions much worse than the conditions which prevailed in Israel, when we brought out millions of sacrifices. There was so much blood, and so much martyrdom. The first time we forget all about it. Just pray. And actually, the sections which consist exclusively of praise, of him who prays, without any, what shall I say, without any traditional motive, are only those. Our choice, you go to the hollow, you find out. This was Minamitra Kwaseko, or Nomi Bamercha, or Assembly Yura, Mayasi Lodo. He's at first, the impression is conveyed that, again, it's a chapter just as praise exclusively. But he's right at the end, yes. He says, they are no. These are very good in this event. So the Minamit culminates in an outcry of joy. In the shouting of the happy person. But right away you say, Ona Hashem Mishir Hashem Atzlucha. It's a part of the chapter of Minamitra. The print is now to do a big letter, but it means a separate chapter. It's a part of the chapter of Minamitra. Where is here the leap? Italian genus leap, the leap into a different realm, which there is no continuity at all. You just say, Zeh Ayin Mosha Hashem Nogil of Yisrael. Everything has been achieved. The finest and the greatest and the day of joy in happiness and grief. But at the very instant, when you achieve the height of belief, of joyousness, you feel how unhappy one is, and how insecure he is, and how much help he still needs from God. You see, one had a shemish here. So, on the fourth half, we recite not only Hallel, but Hallel and Tfilah as well. Petition and praise. We not only give thanks to the Lord, we intercede with him as well. It is not only a shout, I mean, of joy, but an outcry of pain as well. Very strange. It is quite a dialectical, what shall I say, the structural patterns are dialectical. There's an inner contradiction. The happy person feels that he still needs much help and salvation. This is the thesis. The antithesis, is on Hashem Mishiyano. That's the fourth cut. Why did did Chazal choose those sections for the fourth cup? Now the answer. Because the fourth cup is not related to Yitzhak. The fourth cup is related to the final act of redemption, which will usher in the Messianic as well as the eschatological era. When the Ule will be complete, and all promises consummated, and all pledges on the part of God will be fulfilled. So now, we are in need of the Ule, the greatest of all Ule. Namely the Messianic redemption. That's why the chapter, the psalm, dealing with that, don't consist of pure praise, but there is a mixture of praise and petition, of joy and fear, of happiness, and at the same time of distress. Very strange. The happy person, one instant he says, there I am, Hashem, the beloved of Israel, the next instant he says, on the Hashem, Hashem. That's why Hallel was divided. All right, we have three parts, fine. Now let me ask you another question. So actually the narrative of the so-called the fabula of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the narrational part, is in the center, correct? It begins with Rami Vidoli and concludes with what? With Rabbi Gamliel, correct? Now I would ask you another question. The idea, the inference which I want to derive from is probably known to you, because I said it many times. If we were commissioned to write the Agore, what would we do? If you and I were commissioned to write the Agore, how would we write the Agore? Yes? What You see that? A body, people you see the crime, I would just take out the reach in the eye, you would say, there's a story, what happened, not a history, what happened, there's a story. How would you write that body? Right, I don't say right. How would you organize that body? How would you organize that body? If we were committed to this, how would you do it? Do? Answer. Not operation tonight. What do you say? What would you say? I don't hear. So what would you do? What would you do, tell me? Tell me now, you are committed right now, but what would you do? As a matter of fact, I don't know now, but I know the beginning. There was a tendency in the beginning to do so. And the beginning has communicated all those who were tempted to do so. And they said they are crying at the coffin out. Yeah? What was? Yes? What do you say, Michael? Correct? I would say, I was committed to write that money. I wouldn't write at all. I should always pray myself. I would bring a human process and tell the people to start with the Shreve's name of oil and to finish with the end of day. Beata, the full story of the fears, the trial in every detail, the history, the background of every plague. And basically, we don't tell any stories of the fears. There is no story. As a matter of fact, the game is some people are close to the terrorists. They hide themselves and organize different things of trying in such a manner. They used to read the book of Exodus, the perfect story of Israel and Israel. What else? No, we didn't do that. As a matter of fact, what do you say about Israel and Israel? In a few words, I hear the promise from the Gospel of Rome, I am new with some people, I am new with some people, I am new with some people, the Mitra Shemati Aviseno, Ishma Shemeskeleno, Vayaras and Yenu, the Klachatseno, Shem Nitraim. It's not a story of Exodus. It's not a story of Exodus. The story, it's not even synopsis. It's not even synopsis. As a matter of fact, it is the Parsha Arami Evidovi. Instead of choosing sections, I wouldn't say too long, some slaves down to the end of the day, it is the full text of the story, how the Jews came to Mitraim, how they were oppressed, where I mean, they turned into slaves, and then I mean, there is the narration, the story of the martyrs, the torture they were exposed to, and so forth, and then Moses commission, I mean, to take out, and the plagues who were spared, I mean, and the whole story of what happened at the night, on the night of Pesach, Hashem Yotzal Mitzrayim, in the whole story, we have eliminated everything. We just took Aram Evidovi. Do you know what Aram Evidovi, what kind of a part, what kind of a section is it, Aram Evidovi? Does any one of you know what kind of a section is Aram Evidovi? It is in Dvorim. It is in Dvorim. In what connection is it mentioned in Dvorim, Aram Evidovi? Huh? There are two mitzvahs. Mitzvahs to bring the Kurim, the first grown fruit, into the Beit HaMikdash, given to the Kain. Another mitzvah is when you bring the Kurim, you have to read the Parsha, the 30 section. What section? Arame Ledovi Vayered Mitzrayim Vayishav Legeibodim Ot Tumarot. Apparently, our figures, Chazal, have found a common denominator in Mitzvah Bikurim and in Sifrei Yetzirah Mitzrayim. And that's what made them decide the proper framework for Sifrei Yetzirah Mitzrayim would be Arame Ledovi, not Parsha Shmei Tzvei. What is the common denominator in Bikurim plus the recital of the Parsha Arame Ledovi and Sifrei Yetzirah Mitzrayim? What's the common denominator? The first, it is not only Maimonides says it in the Renegufim, but it was developed, this theory, it was developed by the Sefer Achim. Speaking about Mitra Bikurim and Sri Yatapashe, he advanced the following thought, namely, No, but what is the common denominator? The ideological common denominator, or I would say the moral common denominator. Yes, you just don't let me say it. No, too sophisticated for me, you know. What is the common denominator? No. This is already the way you interpret Aram Evidovi. But there is apparently, since Chazal has borrowed, actually, has borrowed the power, which the Torah has completely formulated vis-à-vis another occasion completely. Namely, the occasion of what? Not of celebrating the Exodus, but of offering our first fruit to the king. Yes. Apparently, the common denominator in both mitzvahs. Here, somebody raises hand. Yes, there's both. Yeah, again, but a little closer to it. I mean, you are coming closer, but not yet correct. Gratitude for something great and unusual. Namely, Mikra Bikurim, why do you express gratitude? Gratitude for what? What happens? That we are grateful God for this world. In a sign, a manifestation of gratitude, we bring the first fruit into the Beit HaMikdash. What are you grateful for? I know if you knew Aram Evidovi well, by heart, you would tell me, by Veinu el Horez Hazeh, al Mokim Hazeh, Tazeit Erez Zovat Chol Avodot. Anyway, for Matna Torah, the gift of the land, gratitude for the gift of the of his girlfriend bestowed upon the Jews as a people, he gave them Eretz Yisrael, the gift of the land. This is what Nisro Bikurim, this is actually, I mean, the symbolic expression of gratitude and recognition and acknowledgement of the grace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by giving Eretz Yisrael to the Jews. So what is the Yisrael? Then what is the purpose of the Yisrael, right? So the purpose of Bikurim, the main, the central theme, the central motif of Bikurim is greater power. What is it? Or as you just said it, Akora Seva means called gratitude, loyalty, acknowledgement, recognition, whatever it is. Akora Seva. This is the central theme, the central motif in Avodah Zarah. What is the central motif in Sifu Yetzirah Mitzrayim? Is the Sifu, the ultimate end, generation? No. Again, the Sifu Chanach Lecha Yomim Lehidus Ulaalet. Of course, in order to express gratitude and sense of Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to tell the story. Otherwise, no one will know why you are thankful. You have to tell the story. But telling the story serves another purpose, a higher purpose. Namely, what purpose? Expression of gratitude. In order to extol and to glorify and to praise his name and to be thanks unto him who has done all those miracles to us and unto our forefathers. Right? And then, those Eretz Yisrael play an important role in as far as the purity of Mitzrayim is concerned, certainly. The matter of fact, Chazal spoke of four gule, but there is six gule also, namely Vaveshi, the Tesi, the Salti, the Gualti, the Lokachti, Vaveshi. That's why when you bring the Turin, you tell the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim to Aram HaNedovi. So it's quite natural. The Torah has burdened the Navy Bikurim, the Jew, the Pilgrim who brings the Bikurim into the text. And burden brings his obligation of what? To express thanks, not only for the gift of the land, but for the Exodus as well, because the Exodus was the prologue, so to say, or the introduction to B.S.R. Without the Exodus, there wouldn't have been any B.S.R. The Jews would have never obtained the Eretz Yisrael. So if the Navy Bikurim was burdened with the mitzvah, namely of what? To express thanks, not only for the gift of the land bestowed upon him. Secondly, for Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if we are about to thank God for Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have to associate it, connect it, to link it up with what? With the gift of the land. So basically, the obligation on us to thank God on the night of Pesach, and the obligation and the duty, which is the duty of the Navy Bikurim, of the pilgrim who brings his Bikurim into the sanctuary, to express again the gratitude of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are equated. And if the Torah has formulated the parsha of Aram HaNedovi as the proper means or medium of expression of gratitude for Mitzrayim and the land, and the gift of the land, so whenever a Jew has to express gratitude, whether the emphasis is upon the gift of the land, like in the case of the Navy Bikurim, it's only a difference of emphasis, nothing else. Or the emphasis is upon the Exodus, as it is the case with the Jew on the night of Pesach. So there should be one medium for both of them. Namely, what is the medium? Arami Eivedon. This is the answer. Arami Eivedon. Is apparently that the Torah was not very much interested in the details of the story. Neither with regard to the name of the Bikurim, nor pertaining to Sifu Yetzirah Mitzrayim. So in what was the Torah interested? Not in details. And the Torah wanted details, a detailed story, so the Torah would have burdened the Navy Bikurim with what? With reciting the Parshas of Shmei, where obey. Apparently, the detail is not important. How much blood there was in Egypt, and how much the Egyptians suffered from the frogs, the vermin, and so on. The Torah was not interested in that. So what was the Torah interested in? You see, the fact they have chosen Aram HaNedovi is because they found the parsha in the Chumash serving the same purpose which we pursue on the night of Pesach. Namely, to thank God for the gift of the land, the gift of freedom, bestowed upon us, and the Torah has chosen the parsha Aram HaNedovi as the proper medium of expression, correct? So the Torah was not interested, apparently, in a ration as such, in telling a long, long, long story. No, not at all. Not at all. So what was the Torah concerned with? The Torah said, we got what was his concern with God of Yincho? Yes, this is the purpose, this is the ultimate goal, correct? But of course, I would say that in order to pray and to give thanks to the Baruch Hu, a detailed story is of great significance. The more detailed the story, the more inspired I'll become, and I'll express my gratitude in ecstatic terms. What was the tailor interested? What do you say? Little Clarissa, but he had absolutely no relationship to what we are speaking here. As a matter of fact, what the tailor was concerned to be is not so much to tell the story of the Exodus, but to study the story of it. People you see the time is not the story of the Exodus. Wear it, then you would reach faith from beginning to end, to the end of the day. It is the study of the story of the Exodus. The difference between narrating a story and studying. What's the difference between narrating a story and studying a story? An event, you can narrate an event and not study. You may study an event without narrating it. I mean, there is a minimum of narration which is indispensable, of course. But you can study an event without narrating it. What's the difference? Yes? Correct. With the principle, with the universal motives and eternal meaning. If I narrate events which lie in the past. If I study the meaningfulness and the, what shall I say, and the significance of the events to us. When one writes history, he doesn't have to write all details. If somebody would write all details, what shall I say about the biography of the Ram, write all details. We don't know many details about it. To write every day what the Ram had, what kind of a menu the Ram had, this would be no history. If you write about the Ram biography, what do you write? What do you leave out and what do you take in? When you don't write, and the Ram got up between the head, his diary, so you could find it. We have very little of it. You cannot narrate, we cannot even make a good study. But anyway, you wouldn't write that Ram got up on Tuesday 7 o'clock in the morning, he went to bed at 11:30, and on Wednesday he got up 8 o'clock in the morning, went to bed, 1:30 in the morning. It's completely irrelevant. What do you write? You write history, you write a biography, autobiography, what do you write? You write what is significant and important, what is outside of time and space. But the Rambam not as a temporal being, but the Rambam is the representative of Pirush Balfe, who has never died. You are alive with us. As a great teacher. That's what you write. And the same is true, honestly. If we have the time, we are not interested some in each event, the way it was in detail described in Shmei. Of course, we could have spoken about Dam separately and Sabin separately and Kinin separately and so forth on. We hardly mention the matter. They were asked for Makis Ivach as Gorah and Mitzvah Mitzrayim, and the Jews said it. Enumerate them quickly by spilling the wine from the pot, from the cup. Actually, you don't say what was the Makis Dam like, what kind of a plague was it, what happened. Dam, what that? What happened? What happened to Dam or something else? Because we are not interested. What we are interested? For instance, the Mere God of the Dim Shine. Ani v'le'acher, ani ad Hashem v'le'acher, ani v'le'ashaliach. We are not interested so much in the event, as we are interested in the ideas, in the moral motives which were involved in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Things which are meaningful to us until this day. Yetzias Mitzrayim is not a narration of Mitzrayim, it is a study of Mitzrayim. In simple words, Yetzias Mitzrayim is Talmud Torah, we study Mitzrayim. Not really. It is simply a mitzvah Talmud Torah. As a matter of fact, it is said to say that one is bound, is duty bound to study not only the events which happened in Mitzrayim, but the Hilchos HaTorah, the laws of it. We have a story about Maaseh Rav Elazar, Rav Yeshua, Rav Tzar, who was in Mevrak, where he sat in the Tzias of Mitzrayim for Eitz HaLaila. It is said there's a different story. Maaseh Rav Gamliel, the Chavirov, who was in Mitzubim, the Beizunim, place was, were you asking the Yuchet HaPesah, Hachibo Talmidein Vamura. If for instance to study Masechet Broches, Masechet Sofin, the Lord Sofin is to Masechet, to Chomet, to Chom Pesach, is that means to do part of the Tzias Mitzrayim. So the Tzias Mitzrayim is not to tell the story of Mitzrayim, but to study. And what is characteristic of study, which is not applicable to the story, is something else. You introduce Perosh about that. Because there is no study of Perosh Mitzah without associating it with Teiros Malte. What do you do with Rami Vidori? What do you do with Rami Vidori? How do you say Rami Vidori? If you have never paid attention to it, what do you do? What do you do first? Rami Vidori, you're a Mitzrayim. Le-yoga yake v'shtakir Mitzrayim el-logo shom. This is not Teiros Mitzah, what is that? It's a droshe. Va'yishom le-gigodeo. Me-lamei. Sho Yisroel Mitzionim shom. Again, it was Otsu, the Moshe Ne'emar, the Teiros Malte. Voro, the Ne'emar Revolos HaMachasot Mitzrayim. Interpretation of each word, which is very significant, and replete with meaning to us, not only to our knowledge of the events in the past, but to us, to our life now, with practical meaning. It's a combination of Teiros and extra and say Rosh Hashanah there. As a matter of fact, that under this aspect, we understand many things in that body. That body always begins, commences with a question. Always. First off, show you how to say Ne'ichlin Al-Shimor. There's no need to say Al-Shimor. First off, say Ne'ichlin. Al-Shiposrach is Borcha, but I'm saying in the point. Say Umad, not because long in the Ramel Ashkelin. What say Umad? Say Ramel Midovila. Always the question. It's a rhetorical question, of course. The rhetorical question, the Manistan itself is a rhetorical question. Manistan Lala, they, I mean, the one who has this question knows the answer in advance. You know that very well. But the question is so called rhetorical question. The rhetorical question is typical of Perish Malte. Ketad, or the Gemara in the Mishnah last Ketad, the question and the answer is typical of the fact that the Kitiya Mitzrayim is not a narration of Mitzrayim, of the Exodus, but the study of the Exodus, or Talmud Torah. Interesting is that the Gemara, we say in the Agoda Chol Amar Belisapter, the Kitiya Mitzrayim, Arizem Shubo, but the Rambam has substituted another phrase for that. The Chol Amar Bedrash Parsezu, whoever continues to interpret this Parsezu, in Aran Medori, Arizem Chol Amar Bedrash, Drash, you know what is Drash? Drash, Drash, Mishrosh Malte, Midrash Tachomim is actually Yitzias Mitzrayim is basically Talmud. Of course, we have been commanded and instructed to study the Torah the whole year round. But on Pesach there is another Mitzvah Talmud, an additional Mitzvah Talmud on Pesach night, namely to study what all aspects pertaining to Yitzias, halachic aspects, rabbinic aspects, to interpret Harami Vidovi, to explain certain tukim, to resolve certain problems. Actually, what people in Kiev Mitzrayim means Talmud Torah, the Leil Shemur. It sounds strange to people, I mean, who are not used to it, but this is true. This is people in Kiev Mitzrayim. It's a Leil Shemur. Now let us continue with the text itself. This is just, I mean, a few remarks about the structural pattern. In the first part, what is the first part? What does the first part, the second part consist of? Not of the story of Kiev Mitzrayim, but of the drash of Kiev, the medrash of Kiev Mitzrayim, or the study of Kiev. Now let us read. We said that the first part is part of the basic principles. Avodim oyinu lesarei b'mitroyim. It's simple pasuk. Vayitzeinu adeshem elkeinu mishom v'yot chazoko v'zrei ha'nituyah. What principle is involved in that? Right away. In the first sentence we say. Without isolating that principle for the sincerity from the few lines, we couldn't proceed with people in Kiev Mitzrayim. What is involved here? What's involved here? The first sentence is without isolating that principle for the inferring it from the few lines, we couldn't proceed with people in Kiev Mitzrayim. What is involved here? What's involved here? Apparently, you have a kind of meeting in Kiev Mitzrayim tonight, not the night of Pesach. The Gemara says secret is Mitzrayim until it falls asleep, but you ask me all about it by now. I don't like the business. I mean, if I invite participation, I mean that you can answer. What is involved in Avodim Oyinu Lefarad Mitzrayim? What is strange about this process? Avodim Oyinu Lefarad Mitzrayim? Where is the process mentioned? Where is Kana? This is in answer to whom? To Don Chokhtir. What does the process contain which is indispensable for this year? Right. No. Huh? There's no doubt about it. Correct. Should it be in the answer is, Voyek Mishol for Bin Chamocha, Moed is the Chukim and Mishpat and Sola Shem and Kain and Eftem, instead of Vodi Moyu and Esein and Lepar and Yisroim, by Yitzim and Hashem, and the Kain and Mishom, the Yot Chazok of Israel. It's a very strange answer is given. Avodi Moyu, thousands of years later, this is Mitzrayim is an event which lies in antiquity, at the dawn of our history. We are removed from Yitzim and Mitzrayim, I mean, by 3,500 years or more. What is by Yitzim and Hashem, like Kain and Avodim Moyu? We were not Avodim. What is the answer? The old principle of what we restate that principle. We reiterate that principle in the Ragoda later. Well, what principle is it? It means the question is, first of all, before we start telling the story of Mitzrayim, before we start answering the Sanamin about fraternity, four questions, one question, and before we start developing the whole theme of Yitzhak Mitzrayim and engage in the study of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we lay down a premise, namely, what is the premise? What is the premise? Are you found what you say? Correct, yes, what is the premise? The premise is full identification with past events, with generations who have already vanished and disappeared from the historical arena, thousands of years ago. Full identification without identification of the Jews. Any event is not just remember, but also what? Not only remember. What is it, but what else? What else? Relieved the reactor. Reenacted, restaged, relieved the reactor. This is the principle. The Jew is close to the past. This is true. No human being is as close to his past as the Jew. The Jew is close to his past. The proof is the attachment of the Jew to Eretz Yisrael, on which he has been, was removed 1900 years ago. The attachment is so strong, so dynamic, that it's a tremendous factor now in the building, the reconstruction of the land, you know. I don't have to tell it to you. The Jew is close to his past, he relieves his past. The Jew's memory is not only intellectual memory, or effectual memory, remembering facts, it's an experiential memory. He re-experienced the event. Not only the event of Gule, for instance, the event of Churban Beit HaMikdash, is not only remembered by us. Because if we just remember Churban Beit HaMikdash, there would be no need for what? There would be no need for what? For Aveles and Tisha B'Av, Aveles during the 3 weeks of fasting Tanisim, 10 years. There would be no need. I mean, if you remember an event, you know, people remember. Everybody goes through sad experience. Alright, it's very upset at the beginning. It's shattered, shaken. But little by little, I mean, it sinks into oblivion. You may remember the fact. But the memory is not an experiential one, just a factual one. The Jew is blessed or burdened. I don't know what it is, a blessing or a burden. But it is either one. Either a blessing or a burden. Burdened or blessed is an experiential memory. He re-experienced. Events don't die for him. The events are living. Living experience. He re-witnessed them and relive them and re-experienced. This Avodim or Yinu, the Sarei, the Nitzroi. And we right away interpret what I mean. It's not my shot. We immediately interpret it. The emphasis is not upon Avodim so much, as in Oyinu, Uvayitzeinu. This is the emphasis. This is the first postulate, which is indispensable in order to justify our celebration of the Exodus. Otherwise, the whole celebration makes no sense. We celebrate an event which is almost 4,000 years old. The world has been collapsed and been destroyed and rebuilt and destroyed many times since the Exodus. Nations disappeared, I mean, humanity changed completely. But Sarazuya concerns, it is our return. It's not only an event to be remembered, it's an event to be experienced and to be lived. This is Avodim Oyinu, the Sarei Ben Yisrael. And we interpret what we mean. Yinu Lehechi Akodim Boker Sarteinu Yisrael. That's exactly what we mean. Why do we have to emphasize it? Otherwise, the whole celebration would become what? Meaningless, unjustified, unjust. It is celebration not of the gift of freedom bestowed upon our forefathers, but the story of our slavery and our freedom. As a matter of fact, you know very well that the Chacham HaKabbalah has developed as a prophet to see the crime not only in historical terms, but in symbolic terms. If each individual goes through the destiny, of slavery, each individual is a slave. To whom, I mean? There's many masters, each individual. Many masters. Sometimes he is a slave to himself, his own self-love, his own selfishness, his own narrow-mindedness, and his own ignorance, and his own arrogance, quite often. And there's a process of freedom in which he goes through after his book helps him to attain freedom. But anyway, the Tzitzis Mitzrayim is not only a story of the past, it's a story of the present as well. We relive, we re-experience at both levels, national level and at individual level. Yes. There's something else, to be honest. Avodim Oyinu Lesarei B'Mitzrayim. You should have substituted another phrase for Avodim Oyinu Lesarei B'Mitzrayim. I'll give you the other phrase, would like you to answer me. But answer me. Since it's not a narration, to study, you may participate. If it were a narration, you would listen to the story, enjoy it, and I would do the narrative. But since it's not just a narration, I'm not telling a story. I'm trying to study it. It's exactly what the Torah wanted to do even on the night of Seder, during the Seder. So, could it be in another phrase in Hebrew? And the Torah uses this phrase quite often. Avodim Oyinu Lesarei B'Mitzrayim could be in superseded or replaced by another phrase. Avodim Sarei, you get it? It's beautiful. Avodim Oyinu Lesarei B'Mitzrayim could be beautifully substituted by another phrase. Avodim Sarei Oyinu What's the difference between those two things? I mean, you got it? Yes? Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Abdi Adishem. You don't say Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Abodim Ladishem. You could have said here in Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Abodim Ladishem. Just a. Oh, Yevit, Vayimru Abdi Sarei Al Sarei. Ad Mosai, Yilon Meki, Shalach et Anoshim, Vayal Hashem Rekeem. I say, I'm saying that from the Oren. From the Mitzrayim, excuse me. The term Abdi Sarei is quite current, I mean, in the narrative of the biblical narrative.
society.
Why here is Avodim Oyinu Leifar in the Troim, and in Halle we say, Halleluko Alu Avdi Adishem. You can use the same phrase. Halleluko Alu Avodim Yadish. Right, what did you want to say? You have the Avdi Fare in the Troim.
Yeah, but I don't see the difference.
Just somebody raised their hand over there. Yes. No, okay, no?
What?
I don't see it. All right, yes. No, I don't see it. Just a minute. What is there somewhere in there? Yes.
What's the word?
Yeah, you are coming close. There's some movement. Yes. Yes, both of you. Abdi Faro would also be. Faro does not mean individual, no doubt about it. Faro is a state. It is, of course, Faro is an institution, nothing else. But I don't see what it is. What you want? Yeah, this is all right. It's closer to that. I mean, all right. What do you want? What else? Ah? What's the difference between the emphasis on Faro and the place? What is worse? I'll have the same question. What's worse? What would be worse? Yes?
Well, ask me one question. Let's see the answer.
Let's say in Hebrew. Let's say in Hebrew. My, maho, you have the same. What were they? What were they? Who were they? If I have the sari, or you know, the answer would be who you were about it.
Well,
whatever it means that I have the sari would become, what shall I say, a part of the personal. I would be characteristic of our existential awareness. It means if you say, for instance, who is he? You say he's an individual. What do you answer? I'll give you another. You say, who is he? If I answer, he's an individual. You say, in doubt, you see that. Then I'll ask him, who is he? The answer is a rich man. Blonde and has what I say has wealth and food, good material. What's the difference? You see, you can ask who is he, say the rich man. And say who is he, say the capable man. What's the difference? When you object to that. You see, in the first answer, if you ask who is he, the answer is individual, you characterize him by what? Mm. By an attribute of his personality. By his very essence. The answer you give is the definition of he. Who is he? He is an individual. Or he is a human being. Or he is a moral being. And if he answer, who is he? Ask, who is he? Say, he is rich, he is powerful. If you answer by a circumstance, you characterize him by something incidental, not by something substantive, by something incidental. And I studied philosophy. Other boys who studied Locke and Hume, or not English philosopher. You see, there are certain characteristics whose sum total makes up the substance of the thing. Some characteristics, speak about extraneous properties, something which is incidental. If you ask me, you ask, who is he? And I'll say, he's a secretary, what shall I say, in a business office. This is my answer. The answer is not who is he, but what his station in life is. That's all. But if I'll ask, who is he? You'll say, he's clever, capable, he's kind, he's moral, he's creative. So I don't answer the question. Because the who is he, the question is not what his station in social life is, but what is he himself, substantively. The answer is substantive, not incidental. You understand me well? If you would answer, Avdi Sare, you know, means the Jew has lost with it. As if we had said the Jew has lost his personality, his best for freedom. All he was, all he knew is slavery. All he knew was, how to flatter his master or the slave driver and how to get on better terms. All he knew is the Sirabosa, the part of flesh. That's all. Nothing else. If you say Avdi Sare, you know. But when you say Avodim or Yunuli Sare, what does it mean? This is our social condition. As far as our social station in life is concerned, we must admit that we were slaves unto him. But the slavery was external. It has not destroyed our inner personality. Inwardly, we were resting for freedom. We were waiting for the day when freedom will be granted us. Inwardly, we remain Jews, the descendants of Abraham. When you say, how Abdei Adishem, what does it mean? Not Avodim Adishem. Abdei Adishem means, yes, who is this individual? What's his substance? What's his essence? What's his ontological awareness? So what do you answer? All he is Abdei Adishem, the highest degree of affection. All he is Abdei Adishem. All other interests, all other concerns after it, in comparison with his commitment to the end of that. But if you say, again, we have the Sari al-Sari, correct? As far as the Egyptians are concerned, all they were, in water. It was just a place. It was not desire for freedom, it was English, it was not destiny, just freedom.
slave is life. Slavery became a way of life.
The Rotari
became a modus of existence.
What if you say a body mean the Rotari
in a very economical, political way,
but inwardly, spiritually, existentially, you are not a place in the free people.
You know, slavery is not only for the future.
Slavery is an existential psychological.
Existentially, we are not a place.
We are in the
circumstances what
made us into slaves to Paris.
That is just a training.
Slavery is something that
which we have always resented,
and we have never reconciled ourselves to slavery.
You understand me?
Yes, what do you want to ask?
I don't understand it.
I mean, now you want to ask a question?
Oh, I should really pass on it.
So, interesting is something that Moses witnessed the miracle of the burning bush, and the Torah tells us, Rashi interprets the Labbatesh, what Labbatesh is.
The one interpretation of Labbatesh means the flame of fire, the snare was a flame.
Lehovatesh, Lehomo. But Rashi interprets the Labbatesh, the lame face. It means the fire was in the center. Not the whole snare was a flame, but the fire was in the middle, in the center of the snare. The taste. Bayar vini asne deir boish, basne and upo is not consumed. The fire does not surround the whole bush. If usually the bush gets a fire, then in a few seconds, the bush will be all, a flame, a fire. But here is so a certain miracle. Not only the one pertaining to the fact that the bush was not consumed because of the fire. The fire was in the middle of the snare, and the exterior of the snare was not a fire at all. And interesting is, Bayim HaMeisher Sur Nogere Samar HaGodol Hazeh Madua Le'ivar HaSneh. So many interprets know what is Madua Le'ivar HaSneh. When the snare doesn't burn, it did burn the fire. Not consumed. The verbs are differently interpreted.
What
it means? Burn with fire is a flame. Umadua leyivar asneh does not mean, but doesn't the snare burn? Why the snare is not consumed? But actually, what Meshi didn't understand is not why the snare is not consumed. Madua leyivar asneh, why the whole snare is not surrounded by fire, only the middle. The fire burned in the middle. The fire usually, extends. A fire moves on to face to most of facing. A fire keeps on moving, And here the fire was arrested. In prison, it was reposed in the middle of the snare. That's what Meshi did not understand. It's interesting. The fire was in the middle of the snare, and the Malach Hashem was the Labas Eish Yiseich HaSneh. He reposed in the heart of the fire, which is the Teich HaSneh. The Vayirei Malach Hashem was the Labas Eish, in the heart of the fire. The heart usually, when you say, means the center. The Yiseich HaSneh. And the fire reposed in the middle, it's like two concentric circles of it. There was a snare, let's say, one circle, then there was the fire right here in center, and the Malach Elohim, what did it symbolize? I mean, this is not important, no doubt about it. What did it show? I mean, what is the symbolism of the snare? The way I interpreted it. Why did I reach out for that interpretation? Why is it so important, so relevant to have what the human father is trying to not be far enough, huh? It means, it is very funny. It is a bush, strong bush, which is completely worthless, the strong, the outside. Inside, in the middle, in the center, there was a fire which could not be extinguished. But unfortunately, the fire was imprisoned in the middle, in the center. The snare did not catch fire. The exterior was whole, like any other bush in the desert. The fire was hidden within the snare, in the center of the snare. It was hidden. That the snare, the whole snare, was not a flame. But whom did it is symbolic of whom? Of whom is it symbolic? Of the Jews in Christ. That's what God showed him. They are not of the fire. Oh no. Their essence, their awareness, their inner questing,
their aspirations are not those of a bodhisattva and a master. In the deep recesses of their personality, in the center of every Jew, in the hidden center of every Jew, in the center of the personality, there is a fire burning. The trouble with them is that there is what conflict between the teich and the snake. The teich is hot, the teich is a flame, the teich is a fire, but the exterior remains cold and high. Somehow the fire cannot reach the teich. He may share doubt, may share doubts about the eligibility of the Jew as far as freedom is concerned. He saw the Jew is an enemy. He had a very unpleasant experience. The Schmitz remarked, a shivri and snake, a very bad experience. So that's why Meshe was in despair that the Jew, is not worthy of Bura. He doesn't deserve. He's not deserving of Bura. So that's the first revelation he encountered. It was a very strange revelation. In the middle of fire, the outside cold and dark. Just the appearance of the bush is like any other song in the desert. However, in that bush, in the middle, in the recesses of the personality, in the center, there was a fire burning. It means the Jew has made the fire, the ecstasy of the Jew for God, his commitment to the past has never been extinguished in the Jewish life. All what happened, it was not visible. It was invisible. It was covered up. And Meshe couldn't understand, Madua leviva rasne. If there is a fire in the middle, the fire should catch on in the exterior as well. And if the exterior is cold, it's not a flame, apparently there's something wrong with the fire. That's what makes, what is God telling? Roi roisi is from the army of the Mitzrayim. The Chazal says, Aturei riachas, you see my people in Mitzrayim. It's just at the surface, but nirei shteri. I penetrate into the depth. And once you penetrate into the depth of a Jew, no matter how repugnant he is exteriorly, no matter how subordinated he is to the negus, to his master, but in depth, the Jew in depth is resting for freedom and resting for upper reward. My dual is this is the miracle of the Jew. The Jew always has. It's a story now. We have suffered a great deal. The exterior of the Jew does not reflect his inner world yet. And he actually, his depth exists. The exterior of the Jew and the contrary contradict. What do you see about the exterior of the Jew? What do you see? What is going on here with you? Person is very shrewd, commercially capable, cunning, with tremendous lust for money. Those are the usual, accusations of the deal of particular against the Jew, and the Jew is indicted, or charges are held. He's completely sly, the Jew. The Jew is very clannish. He has no sympathy for anybody but what for his own clan, and so forth. And the Jew is ugly, the Jew is dirty, the Jew is not clean. We are not after the people. You all know, it is as old as Haman or the anti-Semites in Alexandria during the Second Council. And sometimes the Jew's exterior is not too attractive. But within the Jew, there is not yet the way. The Jew himself has never become a edifier. He's only a edifier. But he himself was a free man during the time of oppression. Now interesting. But in the colonial Chachomim, colonial Nevenim, colonial Skenim, colonial Yedim of Tateiro, Mikro and Sapa Bessiyat Letraim, Kolamar and Sapa Bessiyat Letraim are the Mishubach. All Agodes in manuscripts, in Tariyahat, don't have the colonial Skenim. It's a few colonial Chachomim, colonial Nevenim, colonial Yedim of Tateiro, Mikro and Sapa Bessiyat Letraim. And when you read after the sentence, it's Skenim superfluous. Much later. They say that even the God of the Rambam, even now, text, we have the Kolonis Kenim. But the trouble was with the printers. And the printers of the God of the Rambam, they didn't care about the unique text of the Agode, where they took an Agode, another Agode, and they just set to the type. So sometimes the text in Rambam is not reliable because many printers and many scribes, when it came to the liturgical text, the Siddur of the Rambam is not reliable now because they don't know what belongs to the Rambam's unique Siddur and what the printers have adapted from other Siddur. But you see, the old Agode, say for instance, Goldschmidt Agode lately, he has examined many texts. He says that the Kolonis Kenim is much a later addendum, but actually is on the Kolonis Chachomim, Kolonis Nevenim, Kolonis Yedim, etc. As a matter of fact, what does it remind you of? Kolonis Chachomim, Kolonis Kenim, Kolonis Nevenim, Kolonis Kenim. What does it remind you of? Remind you of something. What does it remind you of? Yeah? Yes, right, coming. Correct. Of the Pesach in the Tzalah, which is it. V'amale yisei, Veiko Roshim Shem the Tzalah, the Nure, the Fuhl, the Mati Yehudo, V'amale yisei, Ruach Elohim, the Chochma, the Shem of Adas, the Chol Melach.
Yes.
Chochma bin Adas, this right thing, appears in many, occurs in many sections of the Bible. Chochma bin Adas. As a matter of fact, this tripartite division of human intellectual capacity plays a very important role in Kabbalah. I mean, you know the Hasidic movement of Chabad. It actually revolves about that tripartite division of human, of the human intelligence. Chokhmah bin Adas. Even interesting is what is Chokhmah bin Adas. Here is a controversy. I mentioned it many times here. A controversy between Rashi and the Balei Kabbalah. But basically, it's not, the controversy is not related to the tripartite division. Everybody accepts it. The only question is, what does Chokhmah represent, what does Bino represent, and what does Das represent? While it is what Chokhmah represents according to Chachmei HaKabbalah, Das represents according to Rashi. And that's only different. But the process of cognition, the intellectual process of understanding, consists of three phases. Chokhmah, Bino, Das. I mean, whoever was here, attend the lecture, should know what are the three phases. All right. It means the first stage of knowledge. I mean as a creative scholar. I don't mean a scholar to plagiarize. But a creative scholar is what is intuitive, intuition. It's certainly intuition. It's very hard to describe what it is. But wherever this comes, this typical intuition, is a result of many years of work and of perfect knowledge and expertise. A certain field of it. It's not given to men just gratis.
Yeah.
It's a result of human involvement in a certain branch of knowledge, human involvement. Astronomer is involved in the mechanics of the heavens, or the mathematician, or the physicist, or the historian. Also, Chachmei Torah possesses for them. First of all, when you come across a difficult test, or a difficult problem in Torah, now let us give it to me, I'm at home here. So when you come across a Gemara text, which makes no sense, at first glance. You don't know how to move and what to move and how to do it. You are all confused. And you may walk around with this problem for days, months. And the problem is weighs heavily on you. If you don't care about the problem, you'll never witness that flash of light later. And you are worried, you are concerned. You wake up at night and you keep on thinking about the problem. This is the way how to become a scholar. I mean, there's no other way. You know, the problem will never kill. I tested the exam, one is not a scholar. And suddenly, it begins to bother you very much. Once, at night, sometimes in the morning, a light goes on. A flash of light. Just as the Rambam describes it in here in the book, for a split second. And you see light, just a twinkling light at an endless distance. So, and you begin to walk. You don't know how and what, but there is a light there, and you walk straight for the light. This is your destination. You don't know yet how to solve the problem. You don't know yet how, what categories to use. You don't know yet how to approach it. It's still as mysterious as before. But you begin to move. And you move on. The closer you come to the light, the clearer, I mean, the intuition begins to turn into a notion. And you begin to see, what shall I say, certain patterns. And little by little, the intuition is converted into discursive thinking, into clear logical thinking. Chokhmah is this intuitive. Above. It's the original flesh of life. It's a feeling. It's not a thought. It is a vision, not an idea. But this is the source of creativity. The Chachmei HaKabbalah called it the Kudet HaDmoeh, the point, dimensionless. No, not dimensionless, dimension to the point. You can't do much with it, but this is the single well out of which wisdom is. The first stage is the intuition. This is Chokhmah. Interesting, Rashi says, Ruach HaKodesh, because it is this intuition is a reflex of the infinite wisdom of God. It's a reflex. Otherwise, you can't be incomprehensible. Then, of course, with this intuition, you can't do much. This intuition, little by little, gradually, develops into a system of thought, into theory. This is Bino. Bino means raising double, material double. Some scholars are wonderful as far as the intuition are concerned, but they have difficulty in working out the intuition, developing it into a system. I believe I told you that. I knew very well, he was a former pupil of of my grandfather. But later he was the assistant to Albert Einstein, Dr. Bonner. They published a lot together about the gravitation theory, the gravitational and the electromagnetic field. It's a lot. Einstein dream of finding a common formula for both fields. So he told me many times, Einstein, when it comes to working out the problem, to developing the theory and to formulate it particularly in mathematical terms, mathematical equations, he has great difficulty. What is great is intuitive approach. I remember I used the German term for German, that Schauen, to behold the vision, that Schauen. He sees something. Then he had a pool of assistants who worked it out. From these are the creative power. The creative stuff. It is the very beginning. At the same creative goal, it is a minor torrent. How do you tell your sound in self-advantage? The Huchmata. It is the argument. But what is wrong? A little chicken. Then you begin to develop it and to convert it into something. This is it. Some scholars on the contrary, the electricians, but are excellent in explaining, formulating, systematizing, and classifying. Excellent. Among the daily soil also. Take for instance, my grandfather, his greatness was also in the East. That always revolutionized the whole methodology of philosophy. The way we study, how we study, it is. Without him, we wouldn't be able to study now. But his greatness was in the East. He used to speak. On the contrary, in explaining, he was not perfect. That's why his book is so difficult. The Bishop of Nechaim already, because in expounding knowledge, he met with very difficult. What is creative approach? And then, this is cosmos, and that, then of course, then that means the application. There is theory, and there is applied theory, meaning technology. Some people are neither great as far as intuition is concerned, nor great as far as intuition is the breakthrough. As far as developing an idea, formulation, classification, but they are great as far as taking concepts and converting them into machines. And the tools. Take a man like Edison, he was not a great scholar in the sense of basic research or intuitive approach or Bino or Cosmos. His greatest was in application. He could translate mathematical equations in the ground, in the left and bound. This is that. Amazing Domo, Mateo Domo. Interesting is that Rashi has the same tripartite division, but in the opposite direction. Rashi says, the Chokhmo, Mashodom Shemei Advorim, the one that means he applies them. With the Tuno, maybe government or government means developing. With the Daas, Ruach HaKedah. So the difference is between the Chachmah, Kabbalah, and Rashi, not as far as the tripartite division of the intellectual process is concerned, but as to nomenclature. According to Rashi, it starts with Daas and ends with Chokhmah, and for the Chachmah, Kabbalah, it starts with Chokhmah and ends with Daas. In the intuitive thinking, the passive thinking, and the practical thinking, you know. So you see, Abenda, what do you mean Abenda? Means a great scholar. What do you mean Abenda? Common sense, a lot of common sense. After common sense means the sense of application. What do you say now? Afilu kolonu chachomim, kolonu nevenim, kolonu tzenim. What means? The intuitive genius, the man of intellectual capacity to develop and to formulate and to organize and systematize. But kolonu yedim katera, what does it mean kolonu yedim katera? We can apply a loche to yehoi. There are certain scholars who can't apply a loche to yehoi. There are wonderful stories of sheer stuff. But come and ask them a question about the needle in, what shall I say, in the intestines of a chicken, they don't know how to approach it. I know many like that. Some people on the contrary are excellent in applying the aloha to practical in certain situations, but let them deliver it here, they wouldn't do it. Simply they lack the ability. So he introduces here three types of power. The power of the creative genius, the power of the developer who can formulate, explain, systematize, and the power who can apply. All of them are supposed to work. To engage in the study of this exercise, because in the narration you don't need power to engage in telling a story. The subject of this exercise should be studied under three aspects, namely what? The Chokhmah, creative aspect, the aspect of developing, of development, intellectual development, and systematization, and the aspect of practical application. The trying is a great study. Basically, the trying is a study of the Jewish people. Study of the Jewish people. The Jewish people, as a nation, the nation was born in the trying. Pesach at night. Pesach night is the night of the birth of the people. Well, after from the law, we study the Jewish people, its destiny, its future, past and present. It saturations and so forth, under three aspects, every scholar can contribute to share. The Chochol, of course, can behold things which are invisible to others. You can see new lives go on. The knowing can develop and systematize and develop the whole philosophy, the whole doctrine of Jewish history, of Jewish faith and destiny. And the wilderness that they hold can apply to present problems, to our acute situation, to the events of the day. It is the time and not just the story of the events which lie in the dark past. It is the doctrine of the Jewish people. It's our philosophy, our history. It is actually the outlook on the world. And that is said, the whole process of intellectual understanding can be applied, beginning with fact and concluding with that. You see, that everyone can write to them, write to the Rabbi. The Rabbi, you see, the Rabbi, you see, the more existing these characteristics of those performance. Rabbi Lozor, God, fellow David. Rabbi Lozor is at the power of not, you touch the one half, the whole power begins to roll, falls apart. Rabbi Lozor was just asking one person, he used to introduce so many quotations, so many truths, and he used to look upon it, upon this question from a variety of angles, and under different variety of aspects, God shall give you. And Rabbi Akiva, he has out, he's teaching about it, hear us about that. And in support on each Chacham represented a unique approach, and he says that the group of all those Chachamim started to see the shrine all night. Each one knew his own contribution to the people he's here. Rabbi Lezer, his own contribution, Rabbi Akiva, his own contribution, he supports that. It means that every Chacham, every novel, and every Yedei HaTorah should make its contribution. So in other words, you see us trying at this level, you know, in what kind of a mystery, you see that our mystery is a very democratic one. It means everybody can have a share on this. Or if you feel the democratic mystery, everyone lays the same soul, and everyone engages the same performance. Is it so or not democratic? What you call exoteric? Is there a difference between the human with the blue or the laid an Izarim in head, or the human with a good chapter or a water drawer in the human lay? So what is the same is not matter. Everybody is the same matter. Same matter is more, I thought. The same thing on it. There is one mixing of air. It is not exoteric, but exoteric. It is really a special motion. And you cannot equate it. This is a mixture of how much of the sound is. You need the correct support. No matter how free the admission to City University of New York will be, no matter. No matter how open the gates of all American universities will be, that means every idiot here is a guy. Yes. Education will remain exoteric. The bright boy will understand more, will accomplish more, and society will derive more from his education than from the education of the stupid or sluggish or what I say, or dull boy. I will ask many questions. Why is it so? Why aren't all boys, no girls, and brilliant and sweet as far as comprehension is concerned? It's a good question. I don't say it's not, but fact remains fact. You cannot always affect. Talmud Torah cannot be here. The way you see people who are trying is the place of Talmud Torah. The people who are trying to say it becomes very aristocratic. An esoteric mixture. The Chacham contributes his share. Their novel contributes his share. Their Yudea does contribute his share. The world, what about the person who is leader of Chacham? Nor a novel, nor Yudea Tatera. What should he do? It is the problem about Talmud Torah. It's government, no revolution. Chinese revolution, I don't care. Russian revolution. American revolution, the black revolution will not change that. The same as the revolution of women, I mean, the liberation movement should not change the fact that women will have to conceive and be pregnant, not men. It cannot be changed. A certain fact, certain reality cannot be changed, no matter how resentful we are. That knowledge, some people are privileged and some people are under privileged. That cannot be denied. I mean. So now we speak about Chachomim and Beinim Nisei. It's a privileged group, it's an esoteric group, it's an aristocracy, it's a spiritual aristocracy. And the Bala Gori says each one should make his contribution. But just when you put down your hand on it, and to confirm it, we throw the story about the scholars who were engaging people in spiritual strife. Wonderful. What about the plain Jew? What about the ignorant Jew? What about the Jews? Neither a novel, nor a Chacham, nor a Yedei HaTorah. What shall we do? The problem is related not only to people in spiritual strife. Principle of Krishna Trayini is just an expression of Talmudere. So who has his share in the Torah? Who has his share in the Torah?
Only the Chochom, the Novi, or the Yudea Satera, or every Jew has his share in
the Torah. Certainly.
How do you know that? Perhaps only the Chochom? How do you know that? Correct. They were single on the nation, they were washed up to Russia. It is the heritage of the entire community.
But how? Just right away, you begin to say, Bong Hamokin, Bong Hu. Both in Osan Terol and in Israel, very strange. Very suddenly he begins to praise his name. Both Hamokin, Baruch Hu, both in Osan Terol and in Israel. There is already a reservation here, namely what? There is a retreat here. You did retreat here. Of course, the Tere, the Chochom, the Novin, and the Yudea Tere, those capable men, brilliant men, the geniuses, have a big share in the Torah. No doubt about it. The share with the Vilna Goyim had, the Rambam, it's quite big and potential, no doubt about it. No one denies. No one denies the importance of getting this great mind, sharp mind, people of intuitive capacity, and systematizer, classifier, and formulator of the law. No, but that is both to gain the care, not only to the talent, and not only to the great mind, but to everything. The negative are both from running in water. Who are they? Ochon, Rosso, Samson, those two are not all. They are two pairs. How will you classify those four bunnies? Very popular, everybody knows them.
Correct, yes.
Because some bodies for me, bodies for me. Chacham does not mean the sense Chacham is capable. Understand? It's more potential than actually, than actual wisdom. It's a young boy, Chacham is the potential. Yes. Why is that Tam the contrast of the Chacham? Why do you think? I mean, it's correct. Why do you think? Tam is the doubt, the doubt. So you think that we have got to prove it. You can say, you think that instead of Tam, using the term Tikkun, does not. You could have some doubts about the meaning of the Tam, but there is no doubt. But the meaning of Tikkun in all the Tikkun. In doubt, what is so? Is the opposite type of Koham. No, what is? Then you have a pair, it's not the next, the second pair is not contrast. It's more they are complementary. Namely, the Rosh Hashanah Idealism. What is the Rosh? Rebellion. Reject. Rebellion. What is the Rosh Hashanah Idealism? Not the same. Say, didn't cause me such an idiot. Retarded that you hear. Don't know how to ask. It's not correct. Say, didn't cause me. I'm concerned. It might be a genius, but he's unconcerned. He's unconcerned. He doesn't ask questions because he's not interested. Tam is interest. But Tam is for curiosity, but it's for curiosity of a down person. But I think the reason is the Chochom, I would have this, the Chochom associated with the people, and the Rosh with the Tam, the same deal. So what is actually the idea of this also? What is the idea of this also? The Tere on one hand is esoteric, on the other hand, the Tere is also very democratic, very esoteric. Everyone has access to Tere, everyone has a share. The Chochom has a share, you teach him the way you should. It means Talmud Tere. And if I supposed to teach my children, to educate them, what is it? How should I be guided? How much am I supposed to teach my children about Tere? How much do I teach? What's the answer? How much they are capable to comprehend that children. This is the negative of all bonding in the Tere. Echot Chochom? The Chochom will tell us much more. So what is people you see of the crime or Talmud Tere in general? What does it mean for him? What does it mean? If a boy can, his capacity is right, down with it. So what do you teaching? What do you teach? He has a boy with a good head on his shoulders. What do you teach? No, you don't know. You teaching Gemara? Yeah, Gemara copies, don't you? You're teaching Gemara. So what are you supposed to do with the Ben Chochom? Ben Chochom. Ba'afato enormi tiyuchay kapeta. Teaching the whole Masechet Tzav. Is he capable, brilliant, has capacity, great capacity for comprehension, for understanding? Just teaching the whole Dinim HaFeta. You know how the boy interprets in Achilim HaFeta HaFetum? Hard, because that Achilim HaFeta HaFetum is not the last. The one before the last. The one before the last mission session. I can't help it. It means the way. It means teaching everything. You know about faith, about chomesh, about nothing, about what not, about everything else. And it is not another answer. If you people ask that you have Hana and the answer which is given to the Chochom differs from that in that God is not correct. The Hana means dwarin heivor, dwarin
About cooking and mitzvah. About cooking and mitzvah. So how? So what do you mean? So you have to teach him the cooking and mitzvah. So what do you explain to the chacham? What actually is the content of the answer to the synopsis of the answer to the chacham? What is the synopsis? According to what the clear says. What is the synopsis of the answer to the chacham?
Oh, never heard such an answer. The uncle Stapler is working tonight.
But I should say to the lecture what it didn't mean when the company's not there. I want you to get it out of you. What is the synopsis of the answer? The digest of the answer to the chacham. Mandel, what is the digest of the chacham? Right, I'll do it the way I do it. Of course. What is the digest? What does the Torah say? Not the Balagode. What does the Torah say? You are supposed to answer the chacham. About the Yetzias Mitzrayim. That the purpose of the Yetzias Mitzrayim is not the gift of political freedom or determination of freedom. There was a higher purpose of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Namely what? Actually, to elevate the level of the people that they couldn't. The Chumash said the Torah says it in place. The Gelachoei, the Tzachoei Tzohom, Tzavdu Nesolekim Malor Hazeh. The Chinuch says, what is the Gelachoei Tzachoei 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 And to take them out as bandits, and that's all, and you see the free life. This is not the purpose. The purpose is to take those slaves and convert them into a great Kodesh. Mamlecha sin. Why did that Kodesh go to tell it to nation? Because nation didn't want to go. He was not qualified. Nation thought that the Tzias Mitzrayim is only a question of negotiating with Tzar. Of course, the Tzar and nation thought that someone else could do a better job than him. He was a flat face, and he talked, and he speaks. Anyway, the nation felt undeserving. That honor. So when Yaakov Nisbroch answer and make it, the answer is follow. If the purpose will actually be taking the Jews out of Israel, perhaps you would be right, because perhaps as a political negotiator, I would have found somebody else more capable, more eloquent than you. I mean, who is more versed in you, what a call matter, who knows how to talk and how to negotiate with you. But the purpose of the Jews trying is not the political determination of players. The purpose of the Jews trying is what? But in Zelachoyim, what is the purpose? The sinner is a terror. So I need not a political leader. I need a rabbi. A good teacher. A good melamed. And as a melamed is nature. That's what answer. That's how the chinuch is. The Zelachoyim is the purpose to wear political, to the grant of political freedom. I wouldn't kill you. The hundreds of Jews speak Egyptian better than you, and they can negotiate with parents that is much and is more skillful than you. But I don't need a political messenger here. You're trying the needle racher. I'll take the Jews out of the fire. Whether you're succeeding your negotiation with parents, you'll fail is completely irrelevant, maybe. Just an experiment on my part, but that's all. I don't care. Failure or success means nothing. But the Zelachoyim, the purpose that you see us in trying the Tiacho is all starting to see Malora there. Trying is to receive the Torah and to teach the people. If you lay up life, I need to teach. Great teacher, you are the best. So what do you say to the Ben Chochom Yechumet? What did the Ben Chochom tell the Chumet? The Martel is in the Chavod and in the Chavod and in the Chavod and 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 from the bandits, this was not the purpose. It's only a history song. My mother is on the phone. By the same last is for a foot in the air. You were a similar thing. You think it's a human there. You don't want to be alone with the mission of last is for a mission of the air. What's the purpose of the Christmas time? You see the Saturn and Shira before. So what does the Balagoda answer the man for him? The Fato and Mole. Don't tell him the story of his trial. It's only trying the dump for there is all right, but not. You have more important to the A part of teaching the aloha, it's called a tere too. Because the tere is. You see, the tere was the purpose and the goal, which after this goal, which was true. When he decided to take the Jews out of his tribe, even a part of him, a tere is a tere. All aloha, including in the aloha, and from the Nazi.
είναι ένα πατέρα από το Ισραήλ. Είναι one side of Talmud. This is real Talmud. What you tell, let us take the contrast of it. The Chacham, the Tam, what you tell the Tam, what you tell the Tam. You can't teach him this figure of a prayer given kind of habit. You can't teach the Tam. But that Tam has no head for the mind. So what do you have to tell him? Tell him at his level, at his level, at his level. Don't try to teach the teacher to him. And don't try to teach the Tam station in Syria. That wouldn't work. You can't do that. You are duty bound to teach the Tam those things. You see, suitable at comprehend. Don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. And if he comprehends only the chizik, yours and your honor at the same point, it is a good enough for him. Two different kinds of Talmud era. One Talmud era at the highest intellectual level. The son is a prodigy, a genius. Another kind of Talmud era at the lowest level. You'll ask me, which is more important? For which, what shall I say? For which effort will be more rewarded? Whose effort will be more rewarded? The effort of the father who has a brilliant and teaches him nothing in different ways, puts him on the teaches him hundreds of blood demoralized, and a son who has a father who has a son, limited, sluggish, dull. All he can teach him is a pastor Kumit and tell him his story, or translate his semester, talk on his semester to him, that's all. Which he cannot accomplish. If you ask me, if the father of the town is deserving of a greater reward than the father of the evil genius. Both the most unfavorable, the army before, you know what army is. What is army? The average person. Army is always the average person, the nation, the crowd. The crowd has every share in it. The town belongs to the crowd. So you have to talk. The fear is not just esoteric. Aristocratic creatures only to a spiritual aristocracy. But the fear is creatures to the town and to ignorance and to the limited person. To be flooded as the doubt. This is two kinds of power. Then you have two more kinds of power. Namely, if you see trying the symbol of power, you see both are mocking both, both are not able to destroy. What else? What are you supposed to do the same realism? How can you keep the same realism? Atzach, what it means? The mystery of power is to arouse not only to see. When a person is curious, but to arouse curiosity as well. To stimulate the curiosity as well. Some people can do it. Good teachers can do it. A good teacher can not only teach when the student comes and sits down at his feet and lifts his eyes to the teacher and the flowers, everything. Such students don't exist nowadays. No, don't do. I don't have a lot of experience with you. Don't do it. But you have to be capable of arousing their curiosity, arousing, stimulating their curiosity. This is also found there. Our theory is the father of the tree, father of the teacher, to arouse the curiosity. Somehow, I mean, you're implanting interest and concern for the result of the parameter. What about the Russia? Is there an answer to the Russia or there is no answer to the Russia? What do you say? You have three answers, you have three approaches formulated. One to the Chacham, total Talmudic, one to the Tam, limited Talmudic, elementary, one to the Israel Ego. Not a question of Talmud era, it's a question of arousing curiosity, concern in the world. Or love for the era. You see, sometimes you don't succeed in educating the person, but somehow you may plan to see love. This is also Talmud era. As a matter of fact, the Bach says, our Bruch is a very beautiful era, a very strange Bruch. As some say, you want to last in the era? The Bruch is being formulated. As some say, you want to move in the era? Does it last in the era? He says, move in the era, and the era had formulated. Again, the great scholar, we have a greater share in the theory than we ignorance. Last thing that the theory says is not only to study and to support and to be committed and to help group. This is the afternoon. This means that the reality. So you can keep on teaching now, but you can still learn from it. There's a power of security in the feeling in the sense. He works for there. Even if he didn't teach him much, he's good enough. What about the Russians? Does in general, I mean, you said about it so many times. Does the Russians actually, is there a separate approach to Russians, or the Russians should be ignored? What do you say? The Russians should be ignored? No. If you repeat that, what is it? The father of the case, you know, the name of the Baba Zerf has some education in the train. Is it an answer addressed to the Russia or a complete rejection of the Russia? It means the Russia doesn't have to teach them. Yes, 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 for us. That is happy to see any happy. Okay, I mean, when I got it, if some of it is hey, cost, hey, bomb. I mean, not how to see it. I mean, if some of it is hey, cost, hey, okay, it's hot, hey, that's it. Okay, it's a cost. Okay, if you use a knockout, it's it. You understand this is not a recommendation that is allowed. If you never use physical violence, then certainly it's a nice and
say that the new spirit of life is the house of the conquer. The whole spirit of the life, it is Hakei. H-E-K-E-H has been Hakei. What is Jehu Beisha? We simply have gone into Kenneth. What does it mean? What is Jehu Beisha? The father is your fruit. What is the simply have gone into Kenneth? It means thou become thou. Let me get you to know me. This is argument. We just call argument. This proved that people got it. Engage in a discussion and disprove all of that. It is mute on the argument. The horse has a number of arguments. The horse's arguments are very simple and very understandable. Now, what is this for? Your duty is not ignorant. That is really bad. To convince him that he is wrong. It cannot be done within one eye. You're in the seminar. It may take years, but this is, as I told you, she has to be trying to find it there. And what is the main argument? And the theory recommends the one argument, really. What is the main argument? How you can convince the author? The main argument? Yes. That's what the Baragon is called. But what is the argument? Another answer. Yes. I don't mean that. Some people believe it is not. I don't believe in the rejection of people, huh? The Russia, you see, why is the Russia? Why is the Russia? Just half of the Russia. Because there are two versions in there. Russia, now in there, now they got this affair. The hand of the law. You see, the Kofa, the Yitzhak, Eichi, Akshin, in a class. You see, it's one there. Then there is another one. Russia, now in there, now they got this affair. You see, the Eichi, Akshin, in a class, Kofa, the Yitzhak. A Kofa, the Yitzhak, you know, it means like that. The Russia says, Lachem. He excludes himself from Jewish death. He doesn't believe in the unity of the Jewish people as far as his powerful death is. Sometimes, as the Rambam describes Aperes Vedatus Tilo, he might be very observant. However, if he excludes himself from Jewish historical death, he thinks that he is unique and he only has no compassion for the suffering of the Cloudy Forest, the Aperes Vedatus Tilo, he gives the Jewish faith. That's what the Rambam calls Teres Vedatus Tilo. It means there is no law as far as his observance is concerned. The problem is that he is not included in the Jewish community. He says the Rambam. He does not take confession in the end. He does not represent the disaster of life. He doesn't rejoice in their triumph, in their moment of happiness. And the Hebrew of the Jewish, he thinks that he is different here. This is one kind of error. Then there is another version of it. It is the cross of the ego, and it's the action in a cloud. What kind of error is it? It breaks his observance. And when it breaks his observance completely, he will finally exclude himself from the Jewish community, and will finally, as I say, cut off the last bond between himself and the community. So what do you want? If you are outside of the Jewish community, if you say, if you have not heard of it, I was there and you were saying, leave it alone. You know, you're from your culture, a man, somebody first, a man who is not a bear of hatred, a man who thinks he does not unite with his man, but he may not realize it either. But I always say, the third day I am on a bear, and the bear is very empowered, very, not real power, denied by them, except I never arouse wrath in you, never anything. So I couldn't be angry because the people are not to be blamed for what happened. If you own, you must have it to me. How could you affect on people at least? You have no opportunity. I always do our house a great decision. The most useful occasion is the day of the day. And this is basically the only approach nowadays, modernly, actually, I mean, this is so called Unified Times 80. It is the only approach to somehow to reach to you. I have a case that the only thing is the amount of the owners we don't have. That's the argument. After MLA, I know people do not believe that the
are under the river, so they are afraid of refugees. And they come down there. The old people to be happy. He's the unhappiest person because he's afraid of refugees. It's not a refugee. Paralysis. He's afraid of paralysis. Storms and phobia, malignity phobia. That was overwhelming for other powers. It's not even his comfort. It's that was phobia with many stuff running. Person reaches middle age. And so forth and so on. This is, as I said, I'm not even a unitarian in the trial. Everyone is an addict. His own fears, his own ambitions, his own, what shall I say, his own involvement in economic life. Everyone is afraid. You know how you, and women are not going to be for you. You know how you're strong, and you see the art. But this argument cannot be just used. It won't. It's a question of free education. This also part of our theory. But our theory has four stages. Very strange. Our theory is the of the Chochom, the highest level. Our theory at the very primitive level. Our theory is not in schooling knowledge, but in schooling laws, in any daily sale. And our theory of bringing the one who got lost, the son who was alienated, dead to the soil. We don't get our theory. In the Russia now? In the Russia, but there is a potential in the Russia. There is a potential. This is exactly what our theory is. And interestingly, we say Baruch HaMoshe, Baruch Hu, Baruch Nasim Teiro La'am in Israel, Ram Israel. Suddenly, we have changed the name, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After here, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yilu Le'ishi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalitain in Israel, Arionu Vonenu Vnei Vonenu, Mishubodim Ha'yinu Le'tarei Ben Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 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 According to God, who is closed, who has the attribute of holiness? If you read the holy life, who is closed, according to God? If he alienated himself, materialistic, I mean, oriented, they see you, that he has the same condition, according to God. So who is closed, according to God? He himself realizes the attribute of the distance. Here you speak about our world, what is it? One of them is very sharp on the appearance of his work, who is closed into, because he wants to bring him there. You know, you say, Havaya, Havaya, Yerachu Lechanu, Echo Seidem to Yechtol, Echo Lachas to Yechtol. Seidem to Yechtol, that can be broken with him. Because man is holy, man is pure, man is moral, ethical. Achas to Yechtol, Echo Yechtol, that can be broken with him. The person who does not participate in the attribute of this, that can be broken, removed himself, disappear. What is nothing? Nothing to the chemical law, we embrace the service. The government of his moral takes your life. The government of his moral, whether he is good or wicked, that is broken with him. Is all embracing or penetrating any human being, any physical object is in faith. It is both that is embracing and a person is creating and the person who rebels. It is both as men of his death. Both have walking, both of whom, both of whom are saying, not only power. Love is the ground people, meaning people who rebel against the world. He has never given them every year the potential, every year the capacity for today. Every Jesus can accomplish something from there. Both have walking for intimacy that there are God in heaven, not the time, where the parent is not raised. Is a subject for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Very helpful. If you know that God by heart. Yes, a lot louder. The Trilo is the other is over. Oh, yeah, we're saying it in this world. I'll tell you. The Achter of the one I'm looking like a daughter. So, I know you see how far on. See you on the Kaddishem. They will have a Sheikh and Yoshua. And they will have a Sheikh and Elon. Here, Chavi Avron, Lavi Nocher. Where can I say, we can have one Velech. Velech is in the whole earth. No, I'm letting me see Scott. Let me see the Yaki and Esau. Let me see the Sheikh. Yaki and Yoram Troy. Why is it? Why is it? Why don't we say Lachtov? The one who Akkadish Baruch Hu Lavi Dosei? The same reason. Akkadish Baruch Hu wouldn't have Satcher. Akkadish Baruch Hu wouldn't have raised idol worship to the level of a holy nation and the kingdom of faith. He would have rejected it. But because he's mocking, embraces them, he penetrates them. From who whom no one can escape. Like, one cannot escape from faith, one cannot escape from the Holy Ghost, and nothing is there. That's why, even the age of Israel, he brought the Vanu Amokin. Of course, the very moment that the Vanu Amokin was adopted, he changed his name from Mokin into what? In Jacob's book, you have it right here. By the way, Baruch Shem Rastachot in Israel, Baruch Hu, Jacob's book, he says that they flat. And there is only one thing that I'm there. The story of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yitua, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yitua, and Rabbi Kiva, they were sitting in Israel, they were stopping the Kiva to try to lay their life. You know, the family story, perhaps not the story, or not giving it, the story that the devil is to dry and to gray and to dreary and to say, the story. But not giving it, once upon a time, you need to interpret this beautiful. Even though Yahweh has doubts whether this interpretation is or not. As mighty Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yitua, Lezer and Azar, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfus, they were sitting in Israel, refers to the Pesach, which preceded the outbreak and the insurrection on the part of Zachor against Rome in 131, 132. We don't know exactly the year. Naturally, the Satan is here to try. I said before, but the Tears to try was not only the story of the past, what happened to Pharaoh so many thousand years ago, but it was the story of the present, what's going to happen tomorrow. And from the Tears to try, as I told you, it's not an erasure, it's a study. You derive from the Tears to try, certain materialization, certain inferences, conclusions, which have eternal significance. The Tears to try was to say, they were supposed to guide them in their revolt against Rome. Rome was the carry worse than the tribe, and the people were not as strong, in particular, who was missing the Israelites, and the missing gloom of the revelation. So they say, when the captain fears the tribe in Galatia, was a long night, and the revolt against the cost of the world was prepared, and at that point, and that was Nagidim, Mr. Fair, Nagidim, and Paul, here in Rabbi Kiva, they were sitting in Israel, they were captain fears the tribe in Galatia alive. You know what some historians are, perhaps not historians, or Nagidim, the story that is careful and to dry and to gray and to dreary to say, but Magidin is once upon a time we need to interpret this beautifully. Even though Yahweh has doubts whether this interpretation is or not. As mighty Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Nazar, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfus, they were sitting in the Israel, referred to the Pesach, which preceded the outbreak and the insurrection on the part of that fought against Rome in 131, 132. We don't know exactly the year. The Satan is here to try, I said before, but the Tears to try was not only the story of the past, what happened to Pharaoh so many thousand years ago, but it was the story of the present, what's going to happen tomorrow. The family Tears to try, as I told you, it's not an erasure, it's a study. You derive from the Tears to try, certain materialization, certain inferences, conclusions, which have eternal significance. The Tears to try was to say, they were supposed to guide them in their revolt against Rome. Rome was the carry worse than the tribe, and the people were not as strong. In particular, he was missing the Israelite and the missing gloom of the revelation. They say, when the captain fears the trying of Israel, it was a long time. The revolt against the cost of the world was prepared, and at that point, that was Nagidim used to say, Nagidim used to say. I don't know whether it's true or not, I don't. I want you to understand something which is very important. Rambam, he speaks about the cost that was killed and people were, better in the function of it. The Rambam says, what happened on this book? The news is over a year, the city was conquered. The male who are lost in the world is involved, hundreds of thousands of people are killed. The death of the battle is reminiscent of the Holocaust in Hitler. I wouldn't say numerically. Numerically, no Jews were perished in Hitler Holocaust. But the brutality and the social destruction was characteristic of both the Hitler Holocaust and of the death of Messiah. Then after the cost are lost, and the death of the battle. The Nossau, the Merak, Meller Godel, the Harbe, the Chachme, Israel, Dimu, the Melech the great thing was true. The hard day, Kachmedere, many of the Hachomim in this generation, do thought, seemingly thought, is not a Hamas. Usually the Mishra says about Bakokta, Nikodoni, that the thing that people will commemorate the catastrophe, the disaster of that, not so much as far as the death of an individual is concerned, but simply because hundreds of thousands of people around the Atlantic are speaking. First of all, hundreds of thousands of people are killed, and secondly, the death of Bar Kokhba alone warrants the observance of a day of grief and mourning on people. So the Rambam, I once had my father in the Brachot, the name of my father, but basically, Bar Kokhba had all qualifications which are indispensable for the Melech HaMashiach. Rabbi Kiva did not make a mistake. Rabbi Kiva of Dorach Techos in Yaakov, which was completed in Israel. Rabbi Kiva interpreted that Dorach Techos in Yaakov refers to what? Melech HaMashiach. Kocha. He didn't take it. He passed it on it. A Kocha mechachna natero couldn't be able to do that. Couldn't be able to do it. Basically, the Melech HaMashiach has to forget their equality. He has to accept their telling. All those telling. Kocha was blessed with all those telling. But why didn't he become the Messiah? Why didn't he dream about the Gula? It's not, it's because they're contented. Sometimes the Messiah is working at it. And he cannot get out of it. The idea is that I'm mentioning the Gula. The Gula says, God wanted to declare Chesio Melech HaMashiach and to bring about the Messianic redemption during the time of Chesio. The Sancheren gave him over. It means Chesio as a person, with all the qualifications, all the talents, all the indispensable attributes for the Melech HaMashiach. His great judgment, his intuition, for justice, and his moral personality. I mean, as Isaiah enumerates, when we read that there with the qualifications of Melech HaMashiach, the Achri for Pesach, He made one mistake. What was the mistake of Bakokhta? One. He was too proud. As I'll say, they used to tell after the Zohu, when they say the truth of faith, when you don't need your help, it is a form of the other. He committed to sin, a pride. And the fact that Bakokhta committed an error, and because of that error, he did not realize his great potential as the true Messiah that warrants the sacred day of heaven. So they say that was the meeting, the great assembly of the Chachamim on the night of Pesach. They started to see the cry, not only to see the cry as the event of the past, but as it blew and it seemed. I want to say something. As we have said before, people who see us with cry is a symbol, is basically not a separate mystery. It is integrated into what? Into the great mystery of Talmud. Only on Pesach night, the Talmud is concerned, it's only the capital difference. The Talmud is concerned with what? The scenes of Pesach, but actually there is no difference between ordinary night and Pesach night. Talmud Torah is the continuous, let's say, concern of the Jews. Actually, Talmud Torah, if you ask me how did the Jews survive, what is the central concern, you know, is Talmud Torah, survival of Torah, Pesach Dan of Torah, transmission of Torah, the Nasir and Kabbalah, and so forth, the Sasekhi of Torah, and so forth. In my city, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Nishia, Rabbi Lezer, Ben Azar, Rabbi Akiva was the famous martyr. Why did he sacrifice his life? Why did he sacrifice his life? Because what did the Roman Empire decree? What was the edict of the Roman Empire? Oh, you ask the terror. Usually, the edicts of the Roman Empire were mostly concerned with Talmud. Very straight. The religious persecution, of course, embraced many, and sometimes they used to decree not circumcision. But basically, the most edict of persecution was Talmud. Rome understood very well, without error, but Rome wanted to destroy the Jewish heaven. And very well, Rome was not actually, Rome actually practiced religious power. Rome, the Hispanian, historically, was not an empire run or ruled by fanatics. Fanaticism was alien. They only wanted to dominate the world of the Middle East, part of Europe, politically. They didn't care about religion. It's very strange. During the Bayesian, and they were the governors from the times of Herod and down, Rome used to send in the governors, and Judea was already a satellite, so the governor never tried to interfere with the interference. Never. As a matter of fact, the famous story about the war, the Roman general sent the unit of the emperor, and the Jews were asked to display the banner on the